You're listening to the Gospel Project for Preschooling Kids Weekly Leader Training, helping you teach your kids the big story of the Bible.
Welcome back to the Weekly Leader Training for the Gospel Project for Preschool and Kids. This week, Karen and I will cover Unit 30, Session 3, New Life in Jesus. So, I mean, this one, Karen, the title does not exactly clue us in to where we're going to be studying in Scripture this week. So what are we looking at?
Yeah, well, I think this week ties in great with last week. Last week, we saw Paul's conversion and his new life in Christ. And so this week, we're stepping out of that chronology in Acts, and we're going to see what he would later write about new life in Christ from the book of Colossians. So we are in Colossians today.
Good deal. Great book. So let's just roll right ahead into what areas we think there may need some extra caution or notes or any extra prep time. And I'll start with this one. This session, as we're talking about new life in Jesus, we have to help our kids understand why they still sin if they have new life in Jesus. We want to be careful. We want to talk about how all sin is forgiven. We want to talk about how the power of sin is broken. Before Christ, we cannot not sin. In Christ, we can not sin. I'm trying to be really careful with where I pause between words there. We have the capability of not sinning. We can say no to sin. So the power of sin is broken. We don't have to sin. But the appeal of sin is still real. And so again, I would think the best way to think about this is that when we sin as believers, we're living as frauds. We're living as our old identity rather than our new identity. And so we just need to help our kids understand this, that if they sin, that does not mean they're not believers. That means they're living their old identity instead of living under the power of the Spirit. And we all do this. But again, sanctification is a progressive process whereby we should be sinning less and less as we grow in maturity. Our hatred of sin, our loathing of sin, not just because we get caught or get in trouble for it, but because we despise living as a fraud, should grow. Our practice of sin should decrease. But interestingly, Karen, I remember years ago when I was in church ministry, local church ministry, and I visited one of the elderly men of our church with one of our deacons. And I guess he was in his 90s at the time, and he had been a stalwart of the church. I mean, he was one of the leaders of the church, and we just had a delightful conversation. But one thing he said stood out to me, and he said, the older he has gotten, the more he has realized how sinful he is. And it's not because he was sinning more, it's because he's becoming more aware of sin. And it pained him or it grieved him. And you know, he just, even the sins of omission, when he failed to obey as he should, he just became more in tune with his sinfulness. And that just stood out to me. Here's a man you would expect the opposite. Yeah, I've grown so much. And here was a man who was saying, no, I would think I'm just more aware of sin today than ever before. So it just really stood out to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that quote that says that for every look at our sin, we need to take 10 looks at Jesus. And I think that like that's so true, that the more you look to Jesus, you know, the more you see your sin for what it is. And two, it's not a crushing, you know, soul-wrenching thing as much as it is like, wow, like this is amazing, the Lord saved me. So, yeah.
Yeah, and that was his posture. It was not, you know, he was not sharing this in a defeated way. He was sharing just in awe. A gratitude of goodness of Christ. And so, yeah, that's a really good word. All right, so what do you see here for preschool babies and toddlers this week?
All right, well, just a few things. In preschool, we're doing an activity where we're singing hymns. And, you know, we believe that hymns teach rich theology. I think most people would agree with that. And that's one reason you see us include a hymn in each volume. So just want to get that on preschoolers' radar a little bit more, especially because it talks about singing songs together in this Bible story. But so we suggest providing hymnals for preschoolers to browse, you know, whether your church uses them or not, no big deal. It's just fun for, I think it's fun for them even just to see how music is written in those. Also, we suggest inviting someone who leads worship at your church or is part of your worship team to visit your class and perhaps lead your children in singing. So that's something you would need to, you know, arrange before the session. For babies, they are looking at a sensory jar, which this sensory jar is going to be filled with dry rice and heart-shaped candies. So again, probably going to need to prep that ahead of time. For toddlers, they are going on a church hunt, which I thought was such a fun idea because they are walking around inside your church building using a walking rope or strollers, and they are looking for the church, which we know is the people. So again, we just want to remind you to follow your church's security procedures for leaving the classroom and, you know, make sure you're doing everything you can to keep those little guys safe. But I thought this was a really fun activity and just to put on their radar from an early age that the church is the people, not the building.
Yeah, I mean, I love that one. And you know, Karen, we've had conversations about this as a team, and this, our nomenclature, we often will refer to the church as a building, and to help people remember, oh, no, that's not really it. It's the church or the people. Church, as we read that in scripture, it refers to the collection of people, not a location. And again, we've talked about this in prior episodes. It's hard to be precise with our language at times. And so we, you know, while we, I try to help us avoid referring to the church building, you know, like going to church, but I think there are times we just, there's just no way around it. You just become really clumsy and it becomes forced to phrase it differently. We're going to worship as the church in a building down the street. You know, it just, it, sometimes it's, we're going to church. But this is a great opportunity for us to help even the toddlers start to understand what the church truly is, what the definition truly is. So I'm grateful for that activity. That should be a fun one. All right, so let's talk about what we're excited about God potentially doing in and through this session. And I will, again, just start by saying that this is a week we're talking about this critical change that our kids need to grasp. The Bible speaks of us in Christ as being new creations. The old is gone. It is binary in that regard positionally. So we always have to think of positional truths and experiential truths. Positional are what God declares of us or about us, our position as we relate to Him. And in Christ, it is a binary change. We are dead. We are now alive. We were enemies. We are now children. And so there's a great list that you can find in Scripture of different ways it expresses this instant change at conversion. We are fully righteous. We are fully forgiven. And that is position. That's how God sees us. That's how He declares us to be. We're adopted and so forth. But there's another aspect where we grow experientially. And this is, again, as we're sanctified, we grow to live more of our true identity. So anytime we sin, we are living our false identity. We are living our old identity that is dead. So sanctification is us growing in that. So what we want our kids to understand is as we grow in Christ, as we see these changes occurring that start from salvation but take time, that gap between our true identity, positional truths, and how we're living our experiential should be closed. They should be coming closer together, with the goal of them aligning perfectly. That will not happen this side of eternity. But when Christ returns, or He calls us home ahead of His return, that's when those lines will meet completely. That's when our behavior, our conduct, and our identity will fully align for good. So I just think it's a great opportunity for us to kind of walk our kids through what it means to follow Christ in both these aspects. What about you, Karen? What are you looking forward to?
Yeah, well, I really like our preschool story point for this one. God helps us live like Jesus. I think it's so critical for all of us to know that we don't have to try to like muster it up in ourselves, figure out how to live this new, different life in our own strength, but that we have the Holy Spirit of God in us and helping us. And it just feels like a lot of the Christian life, a lot of sanctification is like just learning to depend on God moment by moment, every day. And I love getting that on kids' radar early in life.
Good deal. So this should be another great session for you. We hope that it goes well for you. So I want to thank you for listening to today's episode. We hope that you have found it helpful as you prepare to teach the Gospel Project for kids in preschool. And for more helpful resources, visit gospelproject.com.